Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The biggest takeaway I want you to take from this live stream is Lane Kiffin is never cowardly punting that football away down by three midway through the fourth quarter. Ball basically at midfield. Frank Wilson, you have nothing to lose. You already have a new job, and it sure as hell ain't going to be as a head coach. And you decide to cowardly punt the football away, spitting in the face of everybody in that locker room? Really? In a game where you don't have all your defensive starters, in a game where there is already a huge play discrepancy between the offense and the defense, with the defense having to play 30-plus more snaps than the offense, what on earth are you doing in that spot? And I understand, Carter, you shouldn't be mad. It's the bowl game. It mattered more to Houston. It, in the grand scheme of things, means nothing. But it means everything to everybody that put their bodies on the line to try and win this game. So, yes, I'm going to be angry about it. We only get 13 of these every season. 12 are only guaranteed. I wanted to win this game. I don't care what anyone says. That is the worst, I mean a worst, punting decision in LSU football history. Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Frank? Your legacy at LSU is cemented. Everybody loved you. Everybody wanted you to stay at LSU. They would have sung your praises no matter what. Even if going for it is not the right decision, go out with your head held high. But what do? You send Grant Chadwick out there, and guess what the defense did? They did what they did the entire game, which is allow Houston to march the football up and down the field. I am so excited that an actual coach with an actual backbone is going to come to LSU. And you know one thing I know for certain that Lane Kiffin is not going to do? You know one thing I know? He's not going to punt in that spot. Because Lane's aggressive. Lane is bold. Lane is not going to be someone that's going to be like, eh, the defense might be able to get us out of this. No! Fourth and three at midfield, down three in the fourth quarter with your defense playing terrible. That is the easiest go-for-it call in the history of go-for-its. Now, it shouldn't have been in that spot. It was third and three. It was an easy out read to Kyle Parker. And for some reason, Michael Van Buren, who played his best game at LSU in this game, missed him. But my God, that has to be one of the sickening, most sickening punts I have ever seen. And then he didn't play Harlan Berry for the rest of the game after he fumbled one time. Anyway, we continue. It was a tough game. And I first want to talk about Lane Kiffin. You know, there's videos of him leaving early. I understand why he left early. It's late. You don't want to mob at the end of the game. You just want to get him out of there. What else does he really need to see other than Tre'Davious Green dominating? And I want to start, obviously, with Lane and how Tre'Davious is going to fit in with LSU next season. Man, oh, man, I'm so excited to see number 14 with Lane's offense. Now, if Tre'Davious becomes a better blocker next year, he is going to be first-team All-SEC and probably first-team All-American. But, man, it was one of the best tight end games we have ever seen at LSU with Tre'Davious Green put up tonight. And you also give a lot of credit to Kyle Parker offensively. Also, the LSU offensive line, after playing an atrocious first half, played one whale of a second half. And I said it was atrocious first half. It wasn't the worst first half for them, especially for their standards. But the run blocking is abysmal. That's something Lane's going to fix. The wide receiver play in this game outside of Kyle was interesting to say the least. That was a great touchdown run by Xavion. And then, of course, Chris Hilton That was the worst overturn I can remember. I did not think that there was an angle there that proved that Chris was short of the goal line there, because for some reason the Texas Bowl didn't decide to have end zone pylon cams. But I thought Chris got in. It was good to see Chris get a few catches towards the end. He had no touchdowns going into the game. So, you know, I don't know. I really, really, really don't know how I should feel. The only thing I'm really mad about is that punt. Truly, that is the only thing I'm really mad about. I have spoken my piece throughout tonight with our multiple live streams about Blake Baker, and it was not a great Blake Baker game. And then you get into, well, he was didn't have half his starters. And to that, I say, yeah, sure, that is totally correct. But you're also the highest paid defensive coordinator in the SEC now. It would have been nice to have a few stops mixed in there, you know, or some critical stops. We obviously stopped them some, but, you know, it was not the case tonight. The LSU defense was very bad. It was a tough night for DJ Pickett. I'm glad it happened tonight. I like when a great player has a tough bowl game, because going into the offseason, they're going to be extra motivated. They're going to have that bad taste in their mouth. They're going to be like, that's just not who I am. I'm a true freshman All-American. So that is one benefit, that you probably won't ever see Pickett play a game that tough again. But other than that, one area where you saw the LSU defense really struggle, and this was brought up to me by one player, and this was brought up to me by one staffer, this LSU defensive tackle room is atrocious. It is really, really, really bad. And that's why there is going to be a lot of portaling at that position. The Bernard Gooden experience had some ups, had some downs, and the rest of it was just kind of, ugh. You know, you got pushed around a little bit. It wasn't a good Tank Guillory night, even though he's had some really good games. A lot of those games were in Tiger Stadium. But the LSU defensive tackle room, Kyle Williams will not return. He didn't coach in this game. Jamari A. Roscoe coached in this game. I don't really blame him in this spot. But, man, this LSU defensive line was not great. You saw how valuable Jack Pyburn was to the unit when it comes to defending the run. And then, of course, we just don't have any pass rush. We just don't have anyone that could get off blocks. And then, you know, you don't have Whit Weeks, who's your best blitzer. You really begin to struggle there. LSU linebackers, I thought, were okay. But Deshaun Spears and Tamarcus Cooley both had wonderful games. And, you know, the rest of the LSU defense will get broken down in the film study. We then get into the offensive side of the football. And I told you guys going into the game that Michael Van Buren was going to have a really nice game, because historically SEC quarterbacks do in bowl games. And that's exactly what happened. All right. So there you go. And then we get to me. The star of the show was Berrion Brown. His legacy is cemented at LSU and in the SEC as the best kickoff returner in SEC history. 6 kick returns for touchdowns. Now, 2 of those were in bowl games, but you saw what he was able to do. 2 ridiculous kickoff returns in this game. 1 that was returned for a touchdown. The second reminded you of Tyrann Mathieu versus Georgia. Now, once again, that was a punt return, but just all the juking to get to where he was at that portion of the field was ridiculous. And he had a really good night for Berrion, really good night for Trades, really good night for Kyle. In fact, Kyle's night could have gotten even better. And Chris did some really good things in this game as he gets ready for the Shrine Bowl. Now, it is almost 1 o'clock in the morning. We've been streaming for the entirety of the game. We appreciate you guys allowing me to go get something to eat for me to delay the start of this post-game show. But what we're going to do is I'm going to get to as many questions as we possibly can. Hopefully, there is one LSU reporter that could get to Frank Wilson before he takes the first plane ride to Oxford to ask him about the most cowardly, despicable punt in the history of LSU football. And it's not the worst. There's a better. There was a worse one. I won't get into that. But still. We get to the post-game stats brought to you by our friends at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. That's L-A-B-O-R-D-E therapy.com. LSU was a far more undisciplined team. 9 penalties for 95 yards, 4 for 29, one of these penalties was your head coach going absolutely berserk on the sideline. And then after that, inexplicably not burning a timeout when you had three of them left to go with 12 seconds left to go in the second quarter when your defense was on its last leg there. Why would you not burn one of your timeouts? I totally forgot about that. Absolutely terrible coaching mistake. If Frank Wilson wants to know why he's not the coach, just look at yourself in the mirror. You have made you have barely even had the job for a couple of weeks now, and you have made almost as many in-game coaching mistakes as Brian Kelly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And you've been a head coach before. And you wonder why your record was what it was at UTSA. That was a poorly coached game. Well, Carter, it's the bowl game and you don't have anyone. No, those are decisions you 100% make. There are two things that a head coach 100,000% makes basically on their own volition. It is timeout usage and it is fourth down decision making. That's it. You as a head coach have got to get those two things right. And Frank failed horribly in both of those departments. Now, I will say it is a step in the right direction that we didn't have any delay of game types of penalties and we didn't have to burn any timeouts like that. But still, once again, the penalties were bad. No run game. We're used to that. And the pass game was really good, especially for our standards. And we finally scored. Finally scored 25 points in an actual regular season game. Okay? So there you go. Now, Lane Kiffin, please come save us, because that is the thumbnail image. And we'll get into more of the stats potentially a little bit later. If you want to see some, I don't know when I'm going to get to this film study, but if you want to see more film study from this game, you can watch the first half stream where we're breaking down plays while the game is going on. And then you can watch the second half stream. That'll be the halftime show and the pregame show. Basically, we just keep it moving there. But I'm going to try and get a film study up for tomorrow night. God, dude, that punt drives me up a wall. You have nothing to fucking lose. Nothing. Nothing. Get a few Brendan Sorsby questions. Yeah, I'm excited about potentially getting him. Grant says Lane should have stayed for the entirety of the game. Peter says the end of the Brian Kelly era reaches an expected conclusion. Thank goodness Chris Kiffin and Sterling Lucas are joining this defensive staff. Highest paid DC in the sport and can't stop a running quarterback. Yeah, Houston scouted us really well. They said, hey, we're going to get our QB involved in the run game. And Wigman torched us, 13 carries, 56 yards. And Dean Connors torched us as well. Look, you know, there's going to be a very convenient excuse, and it's a good excuse for Blake that he didn't have his guys. But this is a question that all of you need to answer. I'm looking at you. If you're going to make that excuse for Blake in this game, are the guys you're going to get defensively in the portal going to be better than the guys that actually opted out of this game? Probably not. Like, I would be hard pressed that we're going to have a better defensive portal haul than what we had last year. I could be mistaken. Hopefully I am mistaken. And I think our defensive portal haul is going to be special. I really do think so. But the thing is, Blake Baker got a raise. And we still couldn't do the one thing that we have been terrible at, which is stop a running quarterback. And this one was one of the slower ones that we played. And we are terrible at the end of halves. Now, once again, they had their superstar tight end. It's going to get drafted pretty high. But, you know, I'm not going to go too hard on Blake because he was missing so many of his guys. All right. I do think Witt's going to get a pretty nice bag to come back, and that'll make us a lot better. And I do think Witt's going to come back. I do. Now, I did tweet this out. Harlan Berry was on the field for the onside kick recovery. So it wasn't an injury. Frank benched him for the rest of the game because of the fumble. Now, the thing is, I understand that, and you're also throwing. And Harlem, you never really want a true freshman to be your third down receiving back. But that is kind of harsh to bench a guy for one fumble that was more an amazing defensive play, if anything. It wasn't that the ball just slipped out of his hands. It was a great punch out. Peanut Tillman style. I don't know. That seemed kind of weird to me. It really did. And I did tweet that out. I would also say, though, that if you want to break down why the LSU offense was bad and why tonight it was good, they had a corner, Houston, number 15, who had the worst game we have seen a corner have versus LSU in a very long time. And that was the main reason we had anything going on the outside passes, right? That corner gave up the deep shot to Chris. That corner gave up the deep shot to Berrion. That corner was the one who got mossed by Trades. That was part of it. But at the same time, the LSU offense was better in this game. And we simply can't run the ball. We are trying to run the ball. We simply couldn't do it. Why? Well, we didn't have Josh Thompson. He didn't play in this bowl game. And I've tried to tell my audience, hey, Thompson's actually good. He's actually a good offensive guard. He's one of the better offensive guards we have on our team. And what happened? Well, couldn't play. Or he opted out. Get ready for the NFL. And with him out, and he wasn't like elite, but he was our best guard, we simply could not move anyone. And if I see another tweet of all of these offensive line staffs that are leaving, all I ask an Ole Miss fan or anyone neutral is tell me which one of these offensive linemen are actually good right now. I think Kerryus Kern is going to be really good. But is he good right now? No. I also think Cohen Echols can turn into something. Is he good right now? No. Tyree Adams is about to hit the prime of his career. Is he good right now? No. These offensive linemen can't move bodies. They're not coached well. They don't work well in unison. Braylon had a tough game, but he was fighting through injury like he has all season. But, man, tough go. Tough go. Then, of course, we had Damian Ramos. He missed a big kick tonight. That stunk. That was a big play in this game that we have not quite discussed. He will have every LSU kicking record. Most points, most field goals made. He was the only kicker of the Brian Kelly era. And he was mostly a good kicker. I don't think he is in the top three LSU kickers. I don't know if he's in the top five even, but he's really good. Really good kicker. And he's going to need to be replaced. Okay. It is literally, I kind of just want to do a stream of how bad that was. I really, really, really do. And I know it's like a moot point, and I would have a lot more viewers, subscribers for me to just talk about the portal now, which we will be talking about nonstop all next week. But, y'all, I just, because the thing that really sucked about it was during the game, I am begging LSU during our stream, hey, someone has got to tell Frank, we have got to go for it. We have got to go into this drive knowing that we have to go for it. Okay. Caden Durham has regressed, unfortunately. I don't believe it. I think he's still going to be really good. Hopefully at LSU, but I could see it being elsewhere. How did Deshaun Spears play? I thought he had a good game. I thought Spears was really good in this game. Yeah, I'm kind of over the Dominic McKinley experience. You know, he finally makes a big play. And then he face masks the quarterback. It's just a lot of hype and just nothing. Now, I hope he comes back because he's got a lot of upside. But I don't know. It just seems like, you know, a lot of the best LSU defensive tackles, dude, they were dogs mentally. They were savages. And I don't feel like McKinley plays like that at all times. And he's just kind of out there. So I'd like to have him back. Five-star talent, a lot of experience, new set of eyeballs on him. But, you know, it's just not enough splash. And then also, I don't know. I feel like I feel like something's just missing with him. And maybe it is Sterling. Maybe he does need just a change of scenery. I don't know. But he can be truly spectacular. I mean, his best plays are wild plays. Let's go to Peter. What scares me the most is the number of starters we will need to get out of the portal and the number of backups we will need. It's almost a complete rebuild. Yeah, I mean, how many players do you feel great about that you saw tonight that could start next year for a legitimate college football playoff team? How many? Tell me. I'll tell you this, if you're a defensive tackle, if you're Deuce Gerald's, if you're Lamar Brown and you saw tonight, you're licking your chops. You're like, I'm going to play a lot next year. But there's just not many. There's a lot of defensive ends that are still on this roster. The only one I think would play a lot on next year's team is the one that's not playing. Gabriel Relaford. How many defensive tackles would you like back? Walter Mathis is interesting. But other than that, it's kind of, I don't know. Linebacker. I thought Devon Keyes did some really good things tonight. But guy, you need Witt back. Really bad. Defensive back, you're looking pretty good at corner. Would be nice to get another safety. Would be nice to get an elite pass rusher. And then offensively, it's everywhere. It's every position. It is every single position on offense. All right. Now, coming up after this, I'll go a little bit deeper in a few other things I took from the Lane Kiffin media appearance. It's PHL Live and the Labor Therapy Center post-game show. Are you a die-hard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown
Counter G, why you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Before I play this next award spot, I want to thank them for all their support this season.
Are you missing that sweet swing?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LaBorde Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LaBorde Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LaboreTherapy.com, with locations in Cairncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LaboreTherapy.com. LaboreTherapy.com. Let's go.
All righty. I want to talk about one thing with Lane. Your head coach matters so much. So much. Literally. In head coaching circles, I do think it can be overstated how important your assistants are compared to how important having the dude actually is. And tonight was a great example of that. Willie Fritz coached circles around our staff. We have got to get ourselves a guy, and we did. We got Lane Kiffin. And there's a lot of heavy lifting in the coaching department. A lot. And that's kind of the scary thing, is with a 9-game conference schedule coming up and the worst November I can remember, Alabama and Texas back-to-back weeks at home, and then you end the season with back-to-back road games, potentially in the cold, versus Tennessee and Arkansas. Both long plane rides, by the way. This will be by far the toughest job Lane Kiffin has ever taken. And that should concern you. As great of a coach as I think Lane is, and the weapons he's going to be able to work with NIL and all of that, this is going to be hard. I want everyone to understand that. Because you add the extra conference game, then you factor in the pressure and expectations, and then you factor in, you compare the Brian Kelly adage, well, you do know you're only returning 39 scholarship guys. What's not included is you also had Will Campbell, prime Harold Perkins, Emory Jones, and Mason Taylor in that first class. Four bona fide superstars out of a signing high school class of 15. And are you going to have that in this high school recruiting class? It would be very nice. It's a little bit different now with the portal being the way that it is now compared to what it was then. This is going to be a difficult rebuild. Very difficult. But it could change really quickly. All right. Is Green a tight end next year? I don't know. I do think it's important to recognize that Damian Ramos was mostly a great kicker, though. It is good. It is nice to have Grant Chadwick back going into next year. I just don't. I'll never get over that punt, y'all. Well, Peter, thank you so much. Yeah, man. You got your head coach. You got your coaching staff in place. I do think, though, the guy that's going to be under the most pressure heading into next season will be Blake Baker, all right? I really don't think it's going to be Lane. I know. Because Lane's kind of locked into this. And, you know, let's say we do win that game versus Ole Miss in week three. You know, we're cooking, obviously. But Blake Baker got a raise. Pretty nice raise to stay. And as Lane shared in the interview with Tom Hart and Cole Kubelik, you know, many pointed out what he had to say about Ole Miss and the portal, and they did the shopping bag thing. But one of the main reasons Lane said he wanted Blake to really stay is because he didn't want to have to replace a full defensive staff. And I get that. And that was one of the big reasons why I wanted Blake Baker to stay. But, you know, this is going to be a pretty big year for him. It's going to be a pretty, pretty, pretty big year. All right, so what I want to do is just show you, and I'm not going to include the bowl game, and we only gave up 5.3 yards per play in this bowl game. So these are the yard per play numbers of the teams that we played this year defensively, okay? And the overall season-long statistics of the LSU defense are going to look very good. But now that the season has played out, and we know what we know about the teams that we played this year, these are the games that most would consider to be elite. Anytime you hold teams under, I don't know why that did that. Let me see. Oh, okay, I see what happens. Is that doing that? I was trying to highlight all this to show it a little bit better. Oh, I know why it's doing it. Okay. So you'll see here that anything under 5.5 yards per play is really good. Anything under 5.5. All right, so we had 5.5 on the road versus Alabama, which is good. Very good. And we gave up 5.7 at Ole Miss, which is also really good. But when you really look under the hood of this, this was a tough season in big spots for this LSU defense. And our elite games came versus, you know, the worst of the worst. South Carolina's offense was bad. Clemson's offense ended up being putrid. Florida's offense ended up being putrid. Oklahoma had that huge play, which really swayed that number. Vanderbilt, 6 yards per play. That was a bad outing. Arkansas had 6.3 yards per play. And then Texas A&M, 7. And we saw how bad Texas A&M's offense was versus Miami, another defense we would consider to be good, about the same level as ours. Jess coming in crazy. Let's go to Sibley. Given the deal with Nike, we might change our colors to black and green. I wonder if Nike would change its logo to a crawfish from a swoosh. A crawfish logo instead of the Nike check. I could see it actually. Sibley, you might be onto something. I could see the Nike check made out of a crawfish shell. I could envision that, actually. But there's teams out there with a basketball player as its logo, which still is crazy to me. If you have any question who the GOAT is, it's a guy with the the logo on football jerseys. All right. All right, so Michael Van Buren has said something pretty big. He said he wants to stay at LSU. Per Wilson Alexander. So I'll let that festate for a little bit. And we'll play a little bit of the Frank Wilson audio. The only thing I want to hear is what do you have to say about the punt? This via Michael Cobble at WBRZ. I don't know if I hear anything.
Just you, it humbles you in challenging times. And so I said to our football team, this moment will make you a better man. It'll make you a fan of the football team. And I'm proud of the way they competed to the best of their ability in the midst of where we're at. And you have three All-Americans.
Do you think that's supposed to be because of a lot of young guys playing after all those
Yeah, I mean, you have three All-Americans, right, to our football team. It's not an excuse. It's just the reality. It's the reality of who we are. And so you recruit a student athlete, you develop them, and we're charged with developing them. All right. And getting them to a point of just mend them. And I respect and understand the decision that they have made for themselves. And so we didn't cry about it. We didn't wince about it. We didn't best that out from those guys who have opted out. Yeah, very proud to get this team to the finish line. And
God, I just want to know why you.
You know, when we coach to condition, they compete today. You know, I'm gonna finish with my boys because the love is unconditional. I'll burn this building down if you don't let me finish. I'm gonna finish with my boys. Finish with my boys. I'll be straighter. Yeah, I'm gonna finish with my boys. I'll burn this building down if you don't let me finish. I'm going to finish with my boys because the love is unconditional.
Yeah, easy to say that now.
Finish second again. So they go out and they compete today.
Half-time. I've never seen them put up with a coach that long. What was the gist of that? What were you mad about? What kind
of explanation did you give? Yeah, and so here was my issue that you had a cornerback playing a receiver. And if the receiver makes an attempt to go after the ball and he grabbed him or he blocked him in that manner, attempting to catch the ball, I get your call. I did not see it from my vision as the receiver attempting nor the ball being in proximity for it.
If I so fast.
Yeah.
Big explosive start.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're gonna,
we put up 14 points and I think we ran seven plays. And so that was a fast start for us. You know, we couldn't get off the field. You know, they sustained drives. I think at one point they've had 14 minutes and we had four or something like that. I don't know. But we didn't get off the field in situational football. And so it allowed them to have life and to have opportunity and hope. And they began to believe because of those sustained drives and first downs that accumulated eventually into touchdowns. But we had enough stops at times. Then offensively, we sputtered and we didn't score. And so to not play consistently complementary football. But, you know, you look at that defense and we wouldn't be where we are without them. And so, you know, it's the first time in a long time we didn't play our very best defensively. And God knows we played outstanding defensively in the last several weeks for sure. And even in the season. But again, there was some transition in personnel that you could probably attribute to some of that.
Coach, compared to people about how we're going to become running backs, coach, and all of this, have you thought about what your mindset is going to be on September 19th when you run across the field and you're going to be looking at some of the same players that you just coached in the bowl game tonight?
I have not. You know, I've given my undivided attention to this team to this point and haven't pierced over the fence and look at what that looks like going beyond. I have given my commitment to Pete Golding and to that organization that at the conclusion of this game, my undivided attention will then turn to them.
Frank, and I guess kind of part of that, I know you won't be here after tonight, but what does that field do you have for the guys that are still in LSU?
I haven't had those conversations.
I don't know if they're going to ask about it. It drives him crazy because he's sitting there saying, hey, our defense wasn't getting stops. Then why do you punt? Why do you punt? No, the only way he's going to talk about it is if you ask him about it. I don't know what the Crispy Pork Fund is, but I appreciate it, Jesse. That's all I want to know. That's the only thing. I don't care about how he feels about the job he's done. I don't give a damn. He's going to Ole Miss. He's proud of the team. I mean, that's been talked about a gazillion times. Just the punt. All right, we'll be back right after this. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and Fortified Gulf. com. This is my buddy Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. it adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's fortifiedgulf.com. Let's go.
Let's go.
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Yeah, so this game, and I do want to include this before we skedaddle here. This game featured quite a few LSU former LSU players and coaches. I was going to say LSU rejects, if you will, but they were at LSU. Slate Nagel, the tight ends coach, he left to be the offensive coordinator at Houston. He was great. And then Jordan Allen had a career game versus his former team. If only he could play like that while he was at LSU. So there you go. Big thanks to all our super chatters. We are about to skedaddle here. Peter, Jess, we'll talk to you soon. We'll be live tomorrow night at 8 p.m. I say tomorrow night, tonight at 8 p.m. Central. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing some Cajun turkey. Let's go.